Please stand to hear the word of God, reading this morning from Romans chapter 15 and starting at verse 1. Says the word of God, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, that is to Israel, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, that would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Thus far the word of the Lord. May he bless it to us all. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as things begin opening up and working again in our country and in Central Oregon, we're all hoping that things will get back to normal as soon as possible, that businesses will get restarted, that people will be able to get back to work and able to support their families again, and that at the same time, we'll be able to both stop the spread of the coronavirus and protect those who are most vulnerable. I hope that you will all be protected and preserved and remain healthy, and that as things get going again, you will all prosper, and especially our families with children. I hope that we'll soon be able to greet one another with a hearty hug and handshake. I hope that very soon we'll be able to worship together without restrictions. Notice I'm using the word hope quite a bit, and I'm sure that you are as well. What do we mean when we use the word hope, as in, I hope things will be back to normal soon? For us as Christians, it's a way of saying, I am hoping in God that he will bring a strong recovery for our nation and for our families, and that he will protect the vulnerable. Hope for Christians is centered on the God of hope, our God. That is to say that our hope is in God, and we hope in God because our God is the God of hope, as Paul says in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So you have the God of hope abounding in hope, and in between the Spirit of God who enables us to abound in hope. If this sentence sounds like it could be used as a closing benediction, similar to the triune benediction of 2 Corinthians 13:14 that we use at the end of service, it's because it is a closing benediction for this part of Paul's letter to the Romans. actually it works perfectly as a benediction for everything that Paul has written in this letter to the Romans up to this point. He blesses his readers, his hearers, he blesses us and the God of hope and exhorts us to trust in the God of hope because he has been teaching about who God is and all that he is doing in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is explaining how, who God is and what he is doing in and through his Son, Jesus, gives us hope. It's the firm foundation for hope. Because we need hope at all times, especially during times of trial and suffering and uncertainty about the future, times like these times. For hope is our outlook on the future. Hope is the opposite of hopelessness, which is despair. But Christian hope is not merely an optimistic view of the future. It is a confident expectation of God's blessings now and in the future because of who he is, what he has done and is doing, and what he has promised to us in Christ. So, first of all, I want to look at a little more the God of hope, according to Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans, that is to Christians in the city of Rome, the capital city of the pagan Roman Empire, is his fullest and most detailed teaching of the gospel that's found in the New Testament. As you know, he wrote in the early 60s of the first century, not long before the vicious persecutions by the Emperor Nero began. Paul knew that the young church in Rome was going to need to be firmly grounded in hope in order to make it through the hard times that were soon to begin. Not just to make it through, however, not merely just to survive, but to grow and mature and become more like Christ, sharing in Christ's union and communion with God and sharing in Christ's ministry from God. For that is why God brings about hard times in the world and in our personal lives to draw us into a deeper and more mature experience of union and communion with him and with one another in Christ and in the Spirit, and to teach us how to minister more effectively. So then let's think about what Paul says concerning hope in this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Dear brothers and sisters, I recommend that you commit that to memory and that you meditate and reflect on this verse. God is the God of hope because he is the source and the object of hope. He is the giver of hope. Matthew Henry, with his wonderful skill with words, says, God is the foundation on which our hope is built, and he is the builder that doth himself raise it. He is both the object of our hope and the author of it. He's foundation and builder. He is object and author. This God is the one about whom Paul has been writing about all throughout his letter. The God of Israel, who has revealed himself in and as the man Jesus Christ. Now, in the preceding verses, Paul quotes several passages from the Old Testament, from Psalms and Deuteronomy and Isaiah, to praise and glorify God for bringing about his purposes in creating and redeeming his people. He created the human race in order to delight in and bless us, that we might delight in and glorify him. And when man turned from God, God began his long work of redemption, in which he formed and purposed Israel to be his special nation to bear witness to all the nations, so that they might know God and have hope in God. But when Israel herself failed, God sent his Son into the world to fulfill Israel's role and to bring not only Israel, but all the nations back to God. And it all comes to a climax of praise, starting in verse 8, where he says, I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And then he begins his use of a whole series of praises from the Old Testament scriptures to exalt God. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you as Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. Notice that Paul concludes these praises with a statement that the Gentiles will hope in the root of Jesse. And then the very next verse is the verse where he says, may the God of hope cause you to abound in hope. And he's addressing those words, may the God of hope bless you to abound in hope. He addresses that to Gentiles. See what Paul is saying? He just explained that God intended all along to save all the nations along with Israel, and that he has now done it through the root of Jesse. And that because of that, he places God's blessings, Paul places God's blessing upon them in this benedictory statement, so that through the God of hope, they will have joy and peace and abounding hope. So the hope of the Gentiles is rooted, if you'll pardon the pun, in the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse is a reference to an ancient prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. The root of Jesse is a figurative way of saying the son of Jesse. Jesse, as you know, was the father of David, whom God raised from obscurity as a shepherd boy and anointed through the prophet Samuel to be Israel's greatest king, who delivered Israel from all of her enemies and gave her peace and rest. But it was clear that as great as David was, he was not the ultimate messianic king, because David committed very serious sins. He repented and was forgiven, but he was not the perfect and eternal Messiah. However, he was a type of the perfect Messiah. The prophecy in Isaiah 11:1 refers to a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A tree stump is all that remains of a tree that has been cut down. It is a prophecy of the time in Israel's future from Isaiah, when the line of David has become all but extinct, all but dead. But out of the old stump, all that's left, will come a living shoot, whom God would raise from obscurity to be the true anointed king, of which David was a type. As we read on in the ancient prophecy of Isaiah, we see that this future messianic king was indeed a descendant of David according to the flesh, but he also was filled and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel. Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And his delight shall be in the fear of Yahweh. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a young goat, and the calf and the lion, the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. See, this is what Paul has been talking about in his letter to the Romans. Through the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, God has brought about the salvation of his people from all nations. So the Gentile believers, that includes us, hope in the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ. Now remember what I said about hope being our outlook on the future. Paul wrote of these things to the Roman Christians who are about to go through great trials to strengthen their hope, their confident expectation in God for a future that they could not yet see, that we are privileged to look back upon and see. The Roman Empire is in ruins. The Church of Jesus Christ is expanded into all the nations and continues to thrive and to grow to this day and will do so. And the Church of Jesus Christ is eternal. This passage and this blessing of the God of hope can strengthen our hope as we go through trials, our confident expectation in God for the future we cannot yet see, the future that God will bring to pass according to his promises. For God is faithful. He is the God of hope. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, like our Roman brothers and sisters in the first century, let us hope in the God of hope. You know, we talk about in these times how earlier generations handled the flu epidemic of 1918. We talk about the greatest generation that went through the Depression and through World War II, and the generation before then that went through World War I. How they were able to meet and overcome and to thrive through the trials of their day. In contrast to the present generation is taking an entirely different approach to the current threat of the coronavirus. I believe it was because a substantial part of that generation understood that they were a part of a much, much bigger plan, the plan of God. And while we pray for and we hope in God for our own personal needs, for jobs, provision for our families, for protection from the coronavirus, from other ailments, for those who are particularly vulnerable, for those who are sick that they'll recover, all which is exceedingly important to hope in God and to pray for, I think we need to recover the reality and the understanding of the reality that we are part of what God is doing that is far greater and larger and bigger. We have a place in that. We have a part in that to carry things forward in the hope of the God of hope for a future that we cannot yet see, but which God will bring to pass, and it will be consistent with this prophecy. For this all has not yet come to pass. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's not yet, but it will be. And we are a part of that. Dear brothers and sisters, let us hope in the God of hope. God is in work. God is at work in the trials of our time. God is at work in and through the coronavirus. God is at work accomplishing his purposes to bring about greater blessings in the world through our Lord Jesus Christ and through his body, of which we are members. That surely includes, dear brothers and sisters, his blessings and his provisions for you and for me. Praise his name. We have a responsibility like earlier generations to carry on the work, the vision of the kingdom of God, because we are partakers with Christ, of his union and communion with God, and also of his mission from God. Thus far, the application of the word of the Lord. May he bless it to us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us respond to these applications of the word by offering ourselves to the Lord in thanksgiving.